Okay, since today is officially the last day of our sharing, then tomorrow is the closing ceremony, then after that we clean up, pack, then we go. So I will do this special invocation of the Devas. Those who have the chanting book, not the retreat version, you can turn to page 6. Ingby, you got the book? You don't have? Oh, but you can remember. Good. Okay, I will read to you the English translation. Invocation to the Devas. In this universe in their entirety, let the deities or Devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine.
Samanta Chakvalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Munirajasa Sunantu Saggamokkhadam Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta
Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sampa Sambuddha Iti peso Bhagava Arahang Sama Sambuddho Vijacarana Sampanno Sugato Lokavidu Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusana Tutu Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sandhittiko akkaliko ehipaseko opanayiko pachyatang veditabbo vinoheti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Ujjupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho สามีจิปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆยาติตังจัตตาริปริสายุคานิอัตตปุริสปุกาลาเอสาภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆอะหุเนโยปะหุเนโยทักขิเนโยอัญจะลิกะระเนโยอนุตรังปุญญาเกตังโลกาสาติสาธุสาธุสาธุโอเควีเพย์รีสเปคทริปเปอร์แจมBuddhang Pujibhi Dhammang Pujibhi Sanghang Pujibhi Okay. Then we will continue from where we stopped. Turn to page 138 of the Heart Sutta.Lesson 41. Definition, way is path. Mahayana under Xuan Hua's transcript, they use the way, the word way, W-A-Y. Whereas the Theravada tradition, they use path. Then extinction is cessation. The seven mental factors of enlightenment or Sattabhujanga are sati. We have gone through. Now I describe in more detail. Sati is mindfulness or awareness before the knowing, the silent mind. Then Dhamma Vichaya is Dhamma investigation. You need sati, a silent creative mind, to investigate Dhamma so that your memory, your conditioning,does not interfere, so that the investigation can be via understanding, seeing things as they are. Then virya is the third enlightenment factor. Virya is a spiritual zeal or tenacity to cultivate the Buddha Dhamma after the faith has become very strong. After you have understood who the Buddha is and how wonderful his Dhamma is.Then when you have virya, it will drive you to cultivate sati, which is the first enlightenment factor. Then with sati, awareness, mindfulness without thought, piti will arise. Piti is a spiritual calmness or joy or rapture that you experience after you become mindful and quiet and peaceful.Even those who do thought-based meditation, they experience piti. Because when you apply your thought to any object of meditation, then you sustain that thought. Then it becomes peaceful where it doesn't think. That's why it becomes piti. You will experience a spiritual calmness. Where when thought doesn't arise, the mind state are peaceful. And piti can arise.But if you develop it through mindfulness, it's even better because you are not trying to control the thought, focusing on the thought. You just allow the mind to be mindful of the object of meditation. Then there is no focusing. There is no one-pointedness to actually prevent the thought from arising. Both type of piti is quite similar, but the one born of energy field one is a little bit more gross. The one that comes through natural sati, mindfulness, that piti is actually more refined. Then as piti arises, you continue to relax into it and silent more and more. It will accumulate into a more refined state called sukha. Sukha is bliss, it's a jhanic factor, but it's not enlightenment factor. So when sukha arises, experience it, but don't cling on to it. Don't always want it to be repeated, because that state is very, very blissful. So that blissful state can be felt at the mind. Then it is really blissful. But then as you continue to relax into it and silent, that mind becomes very quiet. The bliss will also subside. Then after that, you will experience a stillness of mind, the silent mind, the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind. And this is pasati. Pasati is tranquility or still mind, or the silent mind without thought. The mind is like already trained. Initially, it can still stir because of latent tendency and anusaya. They are still not rooted out as yet. But later on, as you stabilize, it becomes samadhi. Samadhi is a collected and unwavering mind that can see things as they are in the midst of life. This is not in apana samadhi. This is upacara samadhi. A free mind with stability of mindfulness and pasati. Then it becomes collected and unwavering, where it has the stability. That's how this fifth enlightenment factor of pasati arrives. When it arrives, your form of meditation, all of your object of meditation will become very quiet, very peaceful, very still, very subtle, like no movement. During that time, don't go and use the mind, either to not sitting, touching, or do anything. You just silent everything and stay there. You can get anything to anchor it, like your heartbeat, or any vibration, or even the subtle breathing, or your subtle meditation object. You just silent everything and stay there. Then after a while, this pasati will stabilize. Then the mind that is in pasati, that has stabilized, is actually the mind that is already in sati. Meaning this mind technically don't need the object of meditation to anchor for it to be still, silent and peaceful. Can you understand? This is very important. If you cannot stabilize this and bring it out to the daily life, you cannot really do daily mindfulness. The state of ever mindful, very difficult. But once this pasti stabilize, like I said, when you come out into daily life, because your mind is already in sati, then every movement, every action, or every consciousness that you arise, seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, or thought, they will be in sati. Do you follow? Because the mind that is in sati will see things in sati, hear things in sati, smell, taste, tactile, and even arising of thought, there is sati. So you are naturally mindful. This is the state of mind that you need to have in the daily life. Then, together with samadhi, the ability to be unwavering and collected. In the midst of life, when you experience sense experience, your mind will not stir. That's why it will stay with the samadhi. And because of your pasati, your mind is silent and still and tranquil. During that moment, it can see things as they are. Then you can awaken. But this process cannot happen if you have not done the first and second turning, especially the second turning. You have to contemplate the Dhamma until very, very clear, until it have a certain stable understanding within you. Then when you do this daily mindfulness with sati, pasati and samadhi, one day when the condition is there, you will awaken. It can be through any way, because everyone is different. Every time, every moment, everywhere, conditions are different. Then when you start to insight into the characteristics of nature to awaken, your wisdom will arise. With the arising of wisdom, you develop the last enlightenment factor, upekkha. Upekkha is equanimity of mind, born of wisdom. No more grasping, no more clinging and stirring of mind. And feeling at the moment of sense, door contact will remain as pure feeling, because there is wise attention or yoniso manasikara at the moment of sense experience. Similarly for perception, sankhara, consciousness, etc. So the aggregate of mind become pure aggregate. There are no more grasping aggregate because of the wisdom and the understanding. It cannot cling anymore. This is the real upekkha. The upekkha that is not born of a conditioned mind, born of energy field. So this is the real seven factors of enlightenment. So I hope by now it is clear. For the arahant, these five aggregates, or their five aggregates of form and mind, are pure aggregates and non-grasping because of their wisdom. The mind cannot get into trouble anymore because the arahant are no longer deluded. Understand the non-self or anatta nature of our form and mind, then there will be no more delusion to condition us into suffering or dukkha. When your grasping arises, you cease to have the enlightenment thought. Now you understand, huh? Because when you have grasping, means you have craving. Your thought cannot be pure. It cannot be the enlightenment thought. The arahant still have outflow of thought, but no more ignorant, huh? Like that day I explained, huh? Because they got no more ignorant. The wisdom is enough to liberate them from the birth and death of the segmented life. Means no more rebirth into any type of the 31 plane of existence. The segmented life is the five aggregate of form and mind. So this is the difference between the arahant and those great beings or bodhisattva beyond. All those that have the ability to develop the bodhisattva way, they will reach the cessation of form and mind until that stability that allow them to connect to the gateway. Then with that, they will understand clearly. Then sooner or later, their mundane mind will collapse. Then when it happens, they have this supramundane mind, which is very different. Then there is like no thought, no outflow, no birth and death of that thing, no more. Because they are all non-grasping. They are pure aggregate. So this is the difference. Eh? That's why in Mandarin they say, arahan with lick, lower. Is it lick? How you low, so? Outflow, huh? Sorry, outflow. Outflow, very good. Low is outflow. Where they are taught, they still haven't ceased. The birth and death of the mundane mind, the gross mundane mind thought, that one has not ceased. The Four Noble Truth is the next one. Chattari Arya Satcha. Chattari is four. Arya is noble. Satcha is true. So the Four Noble Truth. The Pali, they always use this forwards. First, noble truth, Pali word is dukkha. Then samudaya. Samudaya is cause of arising of dukkha. Dukkha is just suffering or unsatisfactory state. Then nirodha is extinction or cessation of all dukkha or form am I, hence realizing nibbana. Then marga is the way or the path, noble eightfold path, leading to the cessation of all suffering. So this Four Noble Truths, if you want to understand more, you go and read it up. Eh? The seminar paper has a very good description of the whole thing. Okay, next page. Question 1. Brother Teo, since the Cameron Highland retreat, I'm able to feel the different mind states in meditation, especially pain and other subtle emotion. Now I understand that pain is just another negative expression of the feeling that I dislike. So I just relax into it and let it be, without any aversion towards it. The mind is now more calm, more peaceful. And because of that, it effortlessly drops to the heart. And when this happens, there is no more obstacle. And I feel hollow and free, means neither feeling the energy nor anything for that matter. I am then able to sit much longer without any feeling of numbness or pain anymore and in the leg. Then I answered, this is a very good understanding leading to a very good meditative experience that can stabilize one's insight. Most cultivators make the mistake of reacting to the tactile sensation that arises and label it as pain because of their mind's aversion towards that feeling or sensation. They do it without understanding that the moment they label it as pain, then a mental hindrance, which is ill will, has arisen. This mental hindrance of ill will will hinder the mind from becoming peaceful. That's why I never do that. Never go and note pain, pain, pain. The lack of peace will condition the meditator to try to note or focus and concentrate on the mind to push away the pain. This is suppression or control, so as to become more peaceful. This is introducing thought into the meditation, hence no more heedfulness, because the doing of meditation is by the thought which is actively trying to meditate to become peaceful. Actually, it is suppression, controls, and like diverting, trying to do something to develop a better mind state. This is not knowing that you are already peaceful the moment you are silent and aware without thought. To just understand the truth and the reality of what is happening within the moment, you will start to understand how the form and mind can be conditioned into reacting to sense experience while is sacredity or self delusion, to grasp onto the five aggregates of form and mind as the I and the me. This is real insight, born of sati, that can see things as they are and understand what is going on there, and then without any thought. I read again. This is real insight, born of sati, that can see things as they are and understand what is going on, and then what is it? Oh, there is a pause. Oh, okay. What is going on there? And then without any thought or thinking. Okay. Yeah, when you see things as they are, there is no thought or thinking. Then you can understand clearly because you are aware that it can trigger understanding. Under Vedana Nupassana, the Buddha said, when there is feeling, whether pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral, you must be aware. This is very important. This awareness will enable you to understand how your mind, via wire its own wrong view or opinion or self-delusion, to react to the sensation and label it as pleasant and unpleasant feeling. or your like and dislike, leading to the first two hindrances of mind. These hindrances of mind, which are sensual desire, ill will, are also part of the evil roots of greed and hatred. The moment the mind is aware of such delusion, the mind can just relax into the moment without any reaction. Meditation is not just about good, comfortable, peaceful, and beautiful meditation. It's about the development of wisdom to enable the mind to deal with all life situations without having to experience any more mental suffering. Always remember, this is the objective. Not to have a good sitting or a fantastic mind state experience. They will come as a byproduct if you do it properly. But you have to distinguish between how it arises. It can arise in two ways. One is by focusing, concentrating, going into absorption. The other one is via mindfulness, awareness, and that is the real one. The other one can trap you. Under the five ways to overcome five mental hindrances and unwholesome thought that has arisen, understanding the five ways to overcome the five mental hindrances and unwholesome thought that has arisen is also very important. The first two ways to think of the direct opposite wholesome thought, followed by contemplating the consequence or danger of holding on or clinging on to this unwholesome wrong thought, because they are evil root. These two ways are still thought-based meditation, but they are important, skillful means that can help the cultivator to overcome the unwholesome thought. They are the first two right effort. Whereas the third and fourth way are meditative training as taught by the Buddha to help the cultivator develop the wisdom needed to free the mind from such unwholesome thoughts. This is especially so for the third way. You want to open the curtain so that you can see, yeah? I think there is a power failure. Huh? The power just tripped. Open the window, and you can have more light. Okay? The Buddha said, we are the third way. You just silence your mind and don't do anything. Then the mind will settle down on its own to return to its natural state of silence and stillness before the stirring, conditioned by your own self-delusion. This understanding can lead to profound wisdom. You know how it leads to profound wisdom, isn't it? I explained before. When you're just silent, then you realize that anger, that emotion, that fear, that wrong thought, or greedy thought, selfish thought, lustful thought, envy, jealousy, they will dissipate and cease. Then you realize this is not you. This mind state, the wrong thought, can be anger or fear. They are conditioned arising. When there is no more condition, it ceases to be. What are the conditions that stir? Your delusion, your attachment, your clinging, your grasping, your craving. So if you don't send in any more wrong thought that condition all this, that emotion, which is anger or fear, it will dissipate. Then it will cease by itself. That's why Krishnamurti used this very important understanding. He said the very flowering of that emotion or that thought of fear or anger is the very ending of that thought. Flowering means what? When you allow a flower to flower until it reaches its peak, then what happens? You will wither, isn't it? After that, it can no longer flower. So the thought is the same. You don't feed it with any more energy or wrong view or wrong thought. It will flower. Then it will reach that point where it's no more flowering. Then it will wither. We call it dissipate. Then you feel that stillness. Because the awareness, when it's silent without thought, it's already peaceful and aware. And whatever that is inside there, if it's impermanent, dependent, originating, no more condition, it ceases to be. That's how the wisdom can arise. then you are no longer deluded by it. Means you don't fight anger, you don't fight fear, you don't try to suppress, control, or do away with it. You will not label it as my anger, my fear, I must do something about it. If I want to be enlightened, I must not have anger, I must not have fear. But you deluded because you think it's you. That's why sakadity is there. And you try to control, suppress, and do something to chase it away or prevent it from arising. So this is suppression. This is control. And this is without understanding. That's why to understand, you must meditate, silent. Then you realize it ceases. Means arise and pass away. Dependent originating, condition arising, not what you think. And anger can never be you. Fear can never be you. Selfishness can never be you. Yeah, when they arise due to your delusion or wrong thought and stir, then when it passed away, did you die? Huh? Did you die? Ah, anger disappeared, you didn't die. Selfishness last disappeared, you didn't die. So how can that be you? These are mind state. Come and go. Come and go. So without this negativity, born of wrong view or self-delusion, you are beautiful. That's why make haste in developing the understanding. Then you are not deluded by it. Then you will be at peace. You will have good life. You will have good understanding of life. So the fourth way is how you develop the wisdom. Then the Buddha said, via is fourth way. Train the cultivator to develop true understanding of wisdom via tracing its origination factor and retrospectively reverse it via understanding to liberate the mind. The origination of this unwholesome thought is always via one of the sense door, consciousness, especially the seeing, hearing, and the thought, consciousness, sense door. When we understand the cause behind the stirring of the mind, then we should contemplate the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths, especially the second turning, until the wisdom is very stable and clear, so that the next time when we confront similar sense experience, like seeing and hearing or thought consciousness, we will not be deluded by it anymore, and we can have the wisdom or understanding to deal with the situation. That's why to develop this cultivation, it is described under Dhammanupassana, third category of practice. The Buddha said, you must develop mindfulness of the six internal sense bases and the six external sense bases, giving rise to the 18 sense rhyme. And you will come to understand how they arise. It is always due to your wrong view again. Yeah? Then if you know that it's your wrong view, you will straighten your view. Then the next time you confront, you have the answer to it. You are able to accept them for what they are. So this fourth way is very important. The ability to silence the mind and to accept the reality of the moment without any reaction or judgment is wisdom. Then to be able to use this clarity or awareness or heedfulness to investigate the truth and characteristics of all phenomena in our daily life is true meditation, real meditation. The ability to accept the reality of all sensation, feeling is also wisdom. The mind can only understand what is going on via just a silent inner awareness to observe the truth and the reality of the moment, without any suppression or control of any emotion. That is just allowing it to flower, to develop the wisdom that comes with it. Use the mind-sweeping method combined with metta to decondition your heedless thinking, so that your mind can be trained to be in a state of relaxed, silent inner awareness, to be heedful, to meditate. This heedfulness will be able to investigate clearly how the tactile consciousness really come to be. You just silence your mind to be aware, to investigate it truth and the reality of the moment, and you will understand how they arise and pass away with every moment of arising of the tactile consciousness. You can then be wary. This word wary again. Oh, sorry. You can then be aware of the pulling sensation to understand clearly how the form and mind function. There is always a knowing element that can be aware of the pulling sensation phenomena that has arisen. The awareness or mind moment is also moment to moment, always moment to moment. Hence, no reality at all, because they are all conditioned arising mental phenomena or consciousness. But due to your self-delusion, you will grasp and cling onto them, hence conditioning your suffering via your wrong view. This understanding is very important to enable one to break free from the concept of self or self-delusion. Then question 2. Brother, when I meditate, I don't feel any pain, but I am aware of thought. When aware, I tell myself to be silent and go back to Anapanasati. Again, is that correct? Why? Don't want to investigate. Don't want to find out. But when you are not clear, you can ask. A better way to phrase the sentence is what? I tried investigating, but I couldn't get it. Then I do this. Can you please advise me how I continue to investigate? This type of question is relevant, Anasala. Advise you how to continue the investigation. Not just, is it correct? If I also equally gullible, I say, correct, very good. What happened? Why you become so complacent, so egoic, so happy? But you say, correct? No, I know already. No, I already understand. If I say wrong, pour cold water. Wow, how la, that also wrong. How only correct? Because you ask, correct or not? Luckily, I'm not equally gullible. I explained to you, it's not about right or wrong. It's about understanding. If you develop the investigation, you will understand on your own. That's why after the first enlightenment factor come out, you need to investigate Dhamma Vichaya. Then when you investigate, you will understand whether it's the truth or not, whether you have done it correctly or not. Yeah. So I read on the answer. Then I say, meditation is not about right or wrong, but it is more towards realizing the wisdom. So you contemplate, is my investigation leading to understanding? If it's not leading to understanding, then what for you do? Which means this person forgot that anapanasati is to train the mind. If your mind is not trained, by all means go and do anasana, not stable. But if it's already trained, you go and do that for what? Like the vipassana people, if I don't note rising falling, I'm not doing meditation, I'm not doing vipassana, not like that. Once the mind is trained, technically you don't need the object of meditation. Then you can use it to meditate. And that is understanding. That is investigation. Then you investigate, what am I doing in the name of meditation? Am I doing all this with understanding? If not, obviously you know it's right or wrong. Can follow, Good. So meditation is not about right or wrong, but it is more towards realizing wisdom that can free your mind from all suffering. When you are just silent, aware, and aware, you are heedful. And in the heedful state, you can develop a lot of understanding while observing your own form and mind without any judgment or comment. You only need to continue doing anapanasati when you need to train your mind. See, I have to remind you to be aware so that it is not heedless. Once your heedfulness has already stabilized, technically you don't need to hold on to an object of meditation. Means anapanasati training is no longer required. Similarly for the mind sweeping method and metta exercise too. For they are just skillful means to train the mind. The key is relaxation of both body and mind, followed by the silent mind leading to a tranquil state of mind that has clarity and awareness within to see things as they are, thereby realizing the wisdom. So meditation has four very important support. They are relaxed, aware, 24 hours, or continuity and trust. So when you have this understanding, it's very easy to meditate. You will not go wrong. The key to meditation is sati, or awareness, which is also the first factor of enlightenment. With awareness or sati, you can develop the understanding of why your mind is like that, how it is conditioned to react to sense experience via your wrong view and deluded view and opinion of things. That is Dhamma investigation. Inquire deep into who is doing the meditation. What is the I and the me all about? Why did the Buddha say it is sakkayaditti or self-delusion? Why are the thoughts so active, judging, and intrusive? And why can't they just let things be? The moment you are aware, the Dhamma will come out to you. Understand it and awaken to it. Relax and be with the moment in silent awareness to experience all of the beauty of life and existence. Once you realize, you will know how to accord and flow. Then you will not be afflicted anymore. Hence, life becomes very meaningful and very beautiful. All this can be understood if you are not deluded. See how your attachment and craving arise during your meditation when you lack wisdom. Most cultivators attach to the good and calm meditation. They hold on to all the things that their mind can create via their consciousness and its content, not knowing that these things are all impermanent and empty, thus causing suffering the moment they grasp onto it or them. Through this Dhamma sharing, you can develop wisdom much faster. Otherwise, it will take you a long time to understand the full picture of the cultivation yourself. These short notes are very useful, and all of you must read through them again and again to stabilize your understanding. That's why at that time I already advised, you have to read through again and again to stabilize your understanding. Similarly, for the recorded talk, you must listen to them again and again to develop the clearer understanding of the Dhamma shared. This is how you can progress along the path of Dhamma, because the vibration will help you, and many, many things will help you. Okay, we finish. Very good. So, next page is Appendix 1. Appendix 1 is the Heart Sutta. So, this one, you go through yourself. We have already developed the understanding and the chanting many rounds already. Then you have the actual chanting. Jeti jeti polo jeti polo sun jeti puti sato. So this is a very good Heart Sutta song. If you want to have affinity with Kuan Yin, then the teaching is the heart of the heart, a very profound teaching. Just one page, not that many words, all of the profound teachings are there. I just run through with the new people, maybe, and the old people is like a revision. The Heart of Prajna Paramita Sutta means the Heart Sutta, perfection of wisdom. Prajna is wisdom. Paramita is perfection. So perfection of wisdom sutta. When Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva, which is Kuan Yin, was cultivating the profound Prajna Paramita, he illuminated the five skandha and saw that they are all empty, and he crossed beyond all suffering and difficulty. So this one is a very profound opening statement. Then he called out to Sariputta. He said, Sariputta, form does not differ from emptiness. Se pu yi kong, and kong pu yi se. That emptiness does not differ from form. Then form itself is emptiness. Emptiness itself is form. So too are your other aggregates of feeling, perception, formation, or sankhara, and consciousness. That's why all the five aggregates exhibit the same characteristic. Empty. Because they are dependent originating. Condition arising. Not what you think. And because of that, it's not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why it's also anatta, non-self. Not me. Then because of that, if you cling, grasp, and want things your way, not understanding nature's law that governs life existence, suffering will arise. Then he again instructed Sariputta. He said, Sariputta, all dharmas are empty of characteristic. They are not produced, not destroyed, not defiled, not pure, and they neither increase nor decrease. So this is the suchness nature, yeah, of Dhamma. They are empty of all characteristic. Therefore, in emptiness, there is no form, no feeling, no perception, formation, or consciousness. Means the five aggregates are not there. Then no eye, ear, the sense basis also not there. Then the consciousness also not there. The sense data. No mind, no sign, no sight, no sound, no smell, taste, object of touch, or Dhamma. Then no feel of the eye, means seeing consciousness up to and including the no feel of mind consciousness. And no ignorant or ending of ignorance. Up to and including no old age, sickness and death, or ending of old age, sickness and death. There is no suffering, no accumulation, no cessation, no path, means Four Noble Truths also not there. And no understanding and no attaining, because nothing is attained, because that form and mind is not you. The Bodhisattva, through reliance on Prajna Paramita, therefore is unimpeded in his mind. Because there is no more impediment, he is not afraid. And he leaves distorted dream thinking far behind. You know what is distorted dream thinking, huh? Your thought is like a dream. Distorted means upside down, inverted, wrong seeing. Ultimately, he realized Nirvana. All Buddhas of the three periods of time attain perfection or Anuttara Samyat Sambohi through reliance on Prajna Paramita. Therefore, know that Prajna Paramita is a great spiritual mantra, a great bright mantra, a supreme mantra, an unequal mantra. It can remove all suffering. It is genuine and not false. That is why the mantra of Prajna Paramita was spoken. Recite it like this. Gate gate paragate parasam gate bohi swaha. Okay, we finish. This next appendix 3 is very important. It's a bit long. I hope can finish before we do our closing ceremony. Okay, we continue. May, help me to read. I need to drink. You can see from there, not? Can, good.
From the Pure Land Chanting, is it? Pure Land Chanting, is it meditation? Developing the five spiritual faculty. Just like what Sister Monica said, chanting is only one of the methods or techniques or skillful means used to anchor your mind, but the Pure Land type of chanting is more than that. Because in the Pure Land tradition, they have this great faith in the Buddha and the Bodhisattva that they chant, and due to their great vows of this Buddha and Bodhisattva, it can arise the causes and conditions for them to develop the very strong faith to connect to their vows. Their vows are very heavy and powerful because of their great virtues, wisdom and perfections. Hence, all these vows can become part of nature's laws and they will manifest and respond on their own. That is, you don't need to have the Buddhas or Kuan Yin Bodhisattva to be all over the places to listen to you and respond. Because of the Buddha's and the Bodhisattva's great vows, if you chant with understanding and you do it sincerely with very strong faith, it can help you to develop a very strong affinity with their natures, and that faith and affinity will connect you to their vows. And their vows will bring forth the causes and conditions to assist you to progress along the path of Dharma and help you develop the five spiritual faculties needed for you to develop the meditation, leading to heedful life. That's why even though you see them like only chanting, chanting and chanting, but in actual fact, they are training their mind to be heedful via mindfulness of the Buddha's name. Their faith in the Buddha's name will arise a strong sadha due to the repeated chanting with understanding, leading to the virya, spiritual zeal. Then together with the sati developed via chanting, walking and bowing, reverent salutation, it will bring forth the sati and samadhi needed to develop the clear mind, which is the meditative or silent mind without thoughts, to see things as they are, to arise the wisdom which is the last of the five spiritual faculties. So when sati and samadhi are established, then during every moment of their daily living, when they see, hear, smell, taste and feel something, they will be very different because they will no longer be heedless like before. Instead, they will be heedful most of the time and their mind are very peaceful, calm and just aware without thought. Hence, clarity of mind. Most of the time, and this is possible because they hold their mantra with faith and they do it very sincerely and diligently. Overcoming the five mental hindrances leading to direct seeing. To develop the meditation, we only need to develop this five spiritual faculty, which help us overcome the five mental hindrances that hinder one from becoming peaceful and mindful. These five mental hindrances, you don't have to fight them, control or suppress them, or worry about them. Once these five spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi and panya are there, the hindrances will cease to be, and then the mind with sati and samadhi will have the clarity to see things as they are, to arise the wisdom or panya. Then their mind is no longer heedless, and they will no longer see things with the conditioned mind. That is no more seeing with their views and opinions, and the egoic mind and their thoughts will no longer interfere with the direct seeing, which will lead to the awakening, understanding and the enlightenment. They will see the dependent origination within their own form and mind. They will start to understand the Four Noble Truths on their own. They will start to see clearly what the Buddha meant by the five mental hindrances and the five spiritual faculties. They will also see clearly the three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion within their own mundane mind, and why the Buddha called them evil roots. They will also come to understand how the seven factors of enlightenment come to be and how their sense bases actually function. That is how upon contact, consciousness and feeling comes to be, and because they have sati and samadhi, they will also have the ability to see clearly how through delusion one is conditioned into negativity, grasping, clinging and attachment, then how suffering comes to be. Then when they are just silent and aware, they will come to understand how the arising of the non-arising hindrance of mind comes to be. Then later on, when they continue to be just silent and aware, they will come to know how the disappearance or abandoning of the arising hindrance comes to be. Then how through non-delusion, they will know how the non-arising in the future of the abandoned hindrance comes to be and how all these are possible. This is how they will cultivate the Satipatthana on or four foundation of mindfulness.
Okay, good. Can anybody who know where the switchbox is, could it be the thing trip? No, didn't trip. No, the switchbox where the ELCB is, where is it? I think inside the room or what? Oh, there is one here. You open out and see, didn't trip. Oh, didn't trip, huh? Oh, very good. Okay, we continue then. Means DMB there, huh? The power hasn't come back. Okay. May continue. Thank you.
Leading to enlightenment. Sati will allow them to also understand how their mind stirred via their delusion to react to sense experiences, to arise the craving or their evil roots to condition their own suffering. This is how Pure Land chanting can also lead to the enlightenment in the here and the now. Note, sati is awareness or mindfulness before the knowing, and samadhi is the collected and unwavering silent mind. Cultivation of the five spiritual faculties facilitates meditation. Sata or faith will make your mind confident, composed and very calm, has no more restlessness and doubt. And when there is virya, you will not be sleepy anymore, because this virya or spiritual zeal will drive you to diligently cultivate. Then when you have sati, you are not heedless anymore. You are mindful and always aware, and your mind is always with the moment in sati, and when you stabilize it, samadhi will arise. With samadhi established, the mind will be collected and unwavering, hence it can see things as they are, to understand the truth and the reality leading to the wisdom. Once these five spiritual faculties are cultivated, you will automatically know how to meditate. Mind and chanting as one. That's why when they chant and chant until the Fa Hao or the Buddha's name and the awareness becomes one, that is mind and the chanting as one, like there is no one to chant, just an awareness of the chanting, of the vibration, then their sati will stabilize. At that time, they will be very different because the five spiritual faculties that are so stable will transform them. Then throughout the day, even when they are not chanting the Buddha's name, they will also have that type of mind. It will like chant by itself. You don't chant also, it will be there. Awareness of the chanting. There was this very soothing and continuous chantings of Amitofo, Amitofo, Amitofo in its background. So as I listened to that chanting, which was repeated many times on the background, I was also able to follow and chant it so naturally and so mindfully. I can chant it until it becomes like very clear to me. Then one day, while I was driving, all of a sudden, this chanting just arise from inside my brain, and there was such clarity that I stopped my car somewhere and silenced my mind to listen to it. It was like the mind and the chanting was in complete harmony and synchrony as one. I remembered initially I was chanting, then all of a sudden it was like no one is chanting, and then everything stopped. Then somewhere underneath my brain from behind the chanting automatically come out, and the mindfulness on it was so stable and so clear that it just stayed there fully aware of everything. That's how I came to know this type of Pure Land chanting can also develop the five spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati and Samadhi, leading to the wisdom and how the mind can become one with it. And there was a realization that there was no one to chant, and the nature within is just aware, fully aware. The chanting just repeats itself, and there was just an awareness of it. So the real chanting is very different because there's no one to chant. It is just the mind that is aware of phenomenon, whether it is physical, mental or nature's phenomena. In this case, it is a mental phenomenon. Cultivation of the four foundations of mindfulness. All these are possible when you have properly developed all these spiritual faculties until they are very stable. Then even in the midst of your daily life, your mind will be very different because of the stability of your sati and samadhi. You will be able to see your mental intentions, your aggregates of mind, like your feelings, perceptions, activities of mind, emotions, mind states, etc., including the consciousness. Then you will also see your mental and physical flows, and after that you will be able to use it to cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness, and your wisdom will keep on arising. The four foundations of mindfulness cultivation will bring forth the enlightenment, because the cultivation of the four foundations of mindfulness will accumulate into the cultivation of the four noble truths. Then the fourth noble truth, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha, is the Noble Eightfold Path, because it leads to the end of all suffering, which is the enlightenment in the here and the now. So finally, whatever meditation you do, if it does not lead you back to the four foundations of mindfulness, the four noble truths, and the Noble Eightfold Path, then it is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha.
This is a very important understanding. Yeah? So let us, Elsie is leaving. We are 10 o'clock. Somebody is fetching her. Yeah? So we rejoice and say goodbye. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah, so we rejoice in your wholesomeness, huh, Elsie? Yeah. Drive safely, yeah? Okay. So when you understand the importance of training your mind to have mindfulness, then how it actually stabilizes your spiritual faculties, Then from there, you can cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness. That's why spiritual faculty is very important to understand spiritual teaching, to develop the awakening. Okay, read on.
Cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path. Caution. If you think chanting alone is a meditation, then you can be deceived. Chanting is just a technique or a skillful means to initially train your mind to develop the five spiritual faculties of Sada, Viriya, Sati, Samadhi and Panya, needed to overcome the five mental hindrances. After that, only the real meditation begins. That is, after your five spiritual faculties have been cultivated and your daily mindfulness stabilized, then only the real meditation, which is a cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path via daily mindfulness, can begin. And within the Noble Eightfold Path, we had the Samasati Path factor, which is a cultivation of the four foundations of mindfulness, which is also the focus of our Dhamma discussion.
Very good. So this one is an important understanding. That's why I put that caution. Otherwise, you become gullible. Understand? You keep on chanting. Amitofo, Amitofo, Amitofo. You do until you think every time you chant, there is meditation. No, when you chant until the spiritual faculties are there, very stable, then you understand no one is chanting. Then you have to investigate Dhamma. Understand? Come out to cultivate the daily mindfulness. That's why without daily mindfulness, you are dead. Then daily mindfulness will include the cultivation of the meditation as taught by the Buddha to become heedful. That's why ever mindful, constantly meditative. So meditation as taught by the Buddha is Noble Eightfold Path. That's why you must have right view, contemplate, understand. Then from right view, how all the teaching come about. How right view condition right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Then what constitute right thought? You have to contemplate. You have to reflect, inquire. That is stabilized. Then only you know how to apply the right thought. You don't even know what constitute right thought. How are you going to arise the right effort to cultivate right thought or virtuous thought? Then what is right speech? What is right action? What is right livelihood? That's why you have to contemplate, reflect, then develop the understanding. Then daily mindfulness, apply them in life. Do you realize the Noble Eightfold Path, all the path factors are related to life? That's why life is the real meditation. In life, you learn. Otherwise, Noble Eightfold Path cannot be there. Why you need right view? Because these are the law, the spiritual law that governs life existence. You don't know them, you don't have right view, you will get into trouble, you will entangle, you will go against the law of karma. And you don't know how you function as a human being because the dependent origination you don't understand. You cannot see. Not only understand through theory, you must see them in your meditation. That's why meditation is not what you think. Cultivation of Noble Eightfold Path is not what you think. All this, you have to develop the clear understanding. Then after that, you develop the four right effort to purify at thought level. All of your wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, and wrong livelihood. You have to use the four right effort. Then after that, you come to purification of view is samasati, right mindfulness. That's why you fall back to four foundation of mindfulness. And within the four foundation of mindfulness, the final cultivation is mindfulness of the Four Noble Truths. That's why the three turning of the Four Noble Truths is the real meditation. That's why Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the Buddha say, he himself, as a bodhisattva, he must cultivate this Four Noble Truths in his three turning and 12 modes. Otherwise, he cannot be called an enlightened being. And the Dhammanupassana, under mindfulness of Four Noble Truths, the last one is mindfulness of Noble Eightfold Path. And that is the real meditation. That's why you cannot understand all this, you will get stuck and you become gullible. You think noting rising, falling, doing anapanasati is the meditation. No, these are skillful means to train, even chanting, like Pure Land chanting. They get connected to the great being's vow. It helped them so much. But you still have to come out into life to cultivate daily mindfulness and noble eightfold path. Then only there is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Because in the form of noble truth, the Buddha said very clearly, there is a noble truth. Namely, the Noble Eightfold Path or the Middle Path. If you cultivate them, it will lead to the end of all suffering, which is the enlightenment. So if you don't have Noble Eightfold Path, that is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. That you do Kundalini, you do yoga, you do whatever, prayer, meditation, even energy field. You have fantastic mind state experience. Then you say realization. You awaken, but you are so crude in your Noble Eightfold Path factor. You don't have right view with regards to the laws that govern life and existence. Then you don't know who you are, what you are. And you are very crude in the way you communicate with people, in the way you arise your thought, in the way you act and speak and live your life. Then you are heedless most of the time. So what type of enlightenment is it? There is some other type of enlightenment, not what the Buddha taught. Then coming back to Noble Eightfold Path, just now I explained why it's related to life. The first one is, of course, right view. You have to understand the spiritual law that governs life and existence. Then only you know how to live life. Because these are the secret of life. That's why right view is very important. Then you know how to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind to take care of karma. That is your first training, first step. Then after that, in life, you need to arise your thought to live life. That's why you must cultivate right thought. You must understand what constitutes right thought. Then you must arise the right speech and right action. What constitutes right speech, what constitutes right action, so that you can communicate with people appropriately without arising all the negativity of action, speech, and thought. So these are the quality of a noble one. That's why he said the enlightened disciple of the Buddha, they are of good conduct. You have Noble Eightfold Path, you have good conduct. And they are very sincere. That's why they got upright conduct. And they are very wise. That's why they got wise conduct. Because they have right view. And they do their duty where they know form and mind is not them, but karmically conditioned out. This form and mind got a duty so that their karmic nature is taken care of. That's why they have dutiful conduct. They are all related. So this teaching becomes very beautiful and very clear when you understand. Otherwise, you know the zigzag puzzle like one piece here, one piece here, one piece there. And that is what is been taught in the Buddhist circle. You know what they teach? Three evil roots, greed, hatred, delusion, finish. Five spiritual faculty. Sada, virya, sati, samadhi, panya. Finish. No explanation. Then separate out. Five mental hindrance. Sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind and doubt. Finish. Seven factor in life. All separate. Understand? They don't know how to link. They don't know how to connect. What are right view also never teach. So, very difficult for people to penetrate. Because you don't understand all this. And it's not connected. And the worst is, a lot of those essential Dhamma that are taught, they are like separate zigzag puzzle. Here you say something, there you say something. Salutation to the Buddha Dhamma Sangha. Oh, you chan. Then come to Sangha, oh, they got this type of conduct. Then how to apply to the meditation and how to see them in the Noble Eightfold Path? Not linked. Noble Eightfold Path, they teach you Noble Eightfold Path, but only the words. Very difficult to penetrate. But when you understand them, then you know how to link them, then you saw the beauty of the Buddha Dhamma. How the Buddha is so wise, able to teach so systematically, and summarize all of his teaching into just four noble truths. The rest, essential Dhamma, are spin-off from there. That's why in the early day, the moment I read the Four Noble Truths, I knew, no need to search. This is the real one. Nobody can do that. Even if I were to become enlightened, I told myself at that time, I cannot summarize all my understanding into just so simple Four Noble Truths and come out with the essential Dhamma to teach so beautifully. If all this you got to do R&D to find out, I tell you, impossible. How much time do you have? 80 years? 100 years? You make mistake until the time you become serious to meditate, you already 20, 30 years old. Some lucky one like Mimi-san and the young one, maybe 20 plus you start. How many years do you have? But most of them wait till you got problem only start. Means what? 40, 50, some 60. I think Canadian lady, she start at 55, is it? Then she actually regretted, is it? 55, cultivate to 70 plus, almost 20 years, he still don't grasp the main teaching of the Buddha Dhamma when I was in the seminar. And after that, he came and thanked me and talked to me. He said, you are the only person who can let me understand the real teaching within that 20, 30 minutes of your talk. And she was full of gratitude and was in tears. Then he asked me when I started. I told him in 1971. 71, 54, 17 years old. He said, you are so lucky. I had till 55 when I retire only I start. Nothing to do with luck. It's your karma. It's your past. That's why a lot of this, you have the understanding, you will understand. Okay, we make a note. 1.9 is very important. Understand it. Then, understanding the essence of the Buddha's teaching. Okay, continue me. Read on.
Hope this understanding the essence of the Buddha's teaching. Hope this is clear, and this is also the reason why I had always advised you all that meditation is to be done with understanding. Otherwise, you are wasting your time and you cannot progress because you are not focused and you are actually doing it without the proper understanding. So be very clear about the whole teaching. Pariyatti, or the learning of the doctrine or teaching, is the first phase of the Dhamma. Only after having a very clear understanding of the Dhamma, then only can one put the Dhamma into practice in daily life effectively, leading to the second phase of the Dhamma cultivation, which is Patipatti. Be patient with Pariyatti, otherwise one becomes gullible, which cultivating Patipatti. Heedfulness equals Sati plus Noble Eightfold Path cultivation. One must understand that the essence of the Buddha teaching is the Four Noble Truths.
Just now, the last sentence, I think, this word is wrong. Be patient with Pariyatti, otherwise one becomes gullible when cultivating Patipatti. Make a note. Page 147, when, not which. Pamasri, or Brother Teo, take a note. Brother Teo, page 147, under 2.0, the last paragraph. Be patient with Pariyatti, otherwise one becomes gullible when cultivating Patipatti, not which, when. Okay, read on.
One must understand that the essence of the Buddha teaching is the Four Noble Truths and how from there all the other teachings comes to be. How and why the Buddha highlighted the importance of heedfulness via Dhammapada verses 21, 22 and 23, and why one must understand what heedfulness is. Heedfulness is sati plus meditation, equals ever mindful to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, meditation as taught by the Buddha. Sati, first factor of enlightenment. That's the reason why the first factor of enlightenment is sati. Because without sati, there is no meditation, and without sati, there is no heedfulness. And according to Dhammapada verse 21, without heedfulness, you are heedless, and the heedless are as if dead, spiritually. All these are very clear. So to connect and develop the meditation, one must initially train one's mind to be heedful. Stabilize the mind, or sati, to cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness. This is also the reason why the first category of training of the first foundation of mindfulness, Kaya Nupassana, is Anapanasati, which is just to train the mind to be mindful, aware of the in and out breath, to do just that. Then stabilize it and use it to cultivate mindfulness of the four postures, leading to the daily mindfulness to develop all the other subsequent four foundations of mindfulness training and cultivation. Pitfalls of thought-based meditation. So, all this when you understand, you will know how to proceed. Otherwise, you just deviate, because most living beings are gullible. They thought meditation is some form of fantasy or like very mystical. Then when they meditate and develop some form of special experience that other people don't experience, then they think this is very special. Then they attach and cling, and they want to know, is it a sign that I've achieved or realized? That's how one deviates, because they don't understand what their focus is. They don't inquire to find out what is meditation. When you don't have clear understanding of what you do, you will end up keep deviating. Then you may also end up having fantasies about meditation. That's how many cultivator or meditator got trapped, and the other danger is they cannot see thought. They cannot see the danger of thought. They cannot understand what sati is, and because sati is beyond thought, and if you continue to allow thought to come in and distract you, then it will become thought-based meditation instead of mindfulness-based meditation. All of thought-based meditation will not bring you the meditative results that you're looking for, because that you want to realize is the Dhamma, which is akaliko. Akaliko means timeless. This Dhamma is beyond thought, beyond time. So if the instrument you use to meditate is thought, you cannot reach it, because you are limited by the instrument you use to develop the meditation. So with this, I think it should be very clear by now. Then you shouldn't make the same mistake again. And by now, you all should start to understand why I keep on emphasizing in the past that meditation had to be done with understanding. You don't just blindly follow instructions. Just like what the Buddha told the Kalamas, you should not believe what the spiritual teacher tell you, even the Buddha himself. You have to investigate and find out. Then, when you understand, you'll be very clear, your mind will be very different, and you will know how to proceed with the cultivation. Otherwise, you become gullible. Then again, you deviate. Sati, mindfulness or awareness? Question by Sister Tree. Brother Teo, I'm afraid I to ask this somewhat simple question. Sati in Pali means mindfulness or awareness, because I see the words being used interchangeably and sometimes I just get confused. Can you please explain again? Thank you. Answer by Brother Teo. It is a very good question. You see, sati is a Pali word. It is translated as mindfulness, a very commonly accepted translation, but nobody really inquired into this word mindfulness. If you split up the two words, then you will get the meaning, mind in fullness, right? But you never inquire or ask, what does this mean? The mind is full of what? If you say full of thoughts, then that is definitely not sati. So it is full of what? Sister Chui, I actually define it as mind in fullness of that moment. Answer by Brother Teo. It still doesn't explain anything, right? When you say mind in fullness of that moment, what are you trying to tell me? Because within that moment, you can also think. That is mindful of thinking within that moment. Sister Chui, no, you can't think when you're in the moment. How can you think? You are supposed to be. Answer by Brother Teo. You can be in the moment and still think.
Agree or not? That's why they use the word, I'm with the moment without thought. They assume without thought. But you don't understand what sati is. That's why he said, I can be with the moment. But you can be with the moment heedlessly thinking. That's why mindfulness full of what? You never think. You never inquire. Full of thought. How can that be sati? Mind in fullness. Full of awareness without thought. That is sati. Understand or not? Okay? Good. Go on.
A mind full of awareness. But when you are in a moment without thought, then it is a different thing. Mind is full of awareness. And then you are without thought. That's why I say you never inquire. Full of what? When mind is full of awareness, it cannot have thought. It can only be aware. But that word is not used. Only in recent years, later teachers used that word. Then they try incorporating them now. That's why awareness now becomes a new word. The actual word should be pure awareness without thought. Then that is sati. Be with the moment without thought. But they went on to confuse it with another Pali word. And then they said it carries the meaning of remembrance and recollection. Then they say sati has a lot to do with memory and recollection. So what is sati? I don't want to know the history because when I meditate, I can be with the moment without thought. Hence, I can understand. That's why I know what sati is. Sati is mind in fullness, full of awareness without thought. That's why I say, sati is awareness before the knowing and you are just aware. Why can't you just be aware? Because you think a lot. You are so heedless and you are seldom aware within the moment because of your habitual tendencies of heedlessness or habitual heedlessness. You also have a lot of fear, anxiety, and the hindrances of mind like sensual desire, ill will, restlessness, and doubt keep on arising to haunt you, hence the reason why you cannot be aware. Sati, pure awareness before the knowing. Awareness before the knowing means what? The knowing is your thoughts perception, your aggregates of mind. Initially, it is just a pure awareness, before even feeling or perception arises, before the labeling, the words, and our views and opinions interfere. It is just like what the Buddha said. In the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness. Can you understand? And there is no one to see, just the pure consciousness arising. The pure awareness before you input the content of consciousness, or just the pure direct seeing without the word, without the labeling, without your conscious mind focusing and perceiving through memory to recall, etc. General spacious awareness. It is just a general spacious awareness, just aware without a center. The moment thought comes out, it means you have already focused and recall through memory, and that's not sati anymore. So when you want to understand what sati is, you need to have a very calm and silent mind. If your mind is not silent, the true nature cannot shine forth. The true mind cannot come out because your mind can only do one thing at a time. Either it is aware within or it is lost in thought. Heedlessly lost in thought. The human being, because of their heedlessness and their delusion, they are constantly lost in thought and seldom or hardly aware. That is the reason why the Buddha said, the heedless are as if dead, spiritually dead. Awareness and clear comprehension, sati sampajana. Question by Sister Tree. Then, is it okay for me to think of the four foundations of mindfulness as the four foundations of awareness? Is it appropriate? Answer by Brother Teo. Yes, you can say that. It's not harmful, but later part in the sutta, they add in the word sampajana, which is clear comprehension, and called it sati sampajana. So you're not only mindful, you must also have clear comprehension of what you're mindful of. That's why the third category of cultivation under kaya nupasana is awareness and clear comprehension of what is going on, or sati sampajana. There is clarity. Then there is also the sentence, aware internally and externally. All this you will slowly understand when you cultivate. Before you cultivate, when you had not realized enlightenment as yet, it is very difficult for you to use your mundane mind's rational thinking to try to understand. When you use thought, it is very difficult. That's why Miss Lee printed out this J. Krishnamurti's quote on what is awareness, which I just sent out for sharing today. Maybe it is meant to be. Awareness is the silent and choiceless observation of what is. J. Krishnamurti. The below J. Krishnamurti's daily quote was read by Sister Engby at Brother Teo's request. Awareness is the silent and choiceless observation of what is. In this awareness, the problem unrolls itself, and thus it is fully and completely understood. A problem is never solved on its own level. Being complex, it must be understood in its total process. To try to solve a problem on only one level, physical or psychological, leads to further conflict and confusion. For the resolution of a problem, there must be this awareness, this passive alertness which reveals its total process, by J. Krishnamurti.
So this definition is very good. That's why when people cannot understand, they say Krishnamurti's teaching is philosophical. Nothing to do with the Buddha's teaching. Because all these words are so different. But when you understand, it matched perfectly. That's why, like Mahayana and Theravada, Heart Sutta, the way it's taught by Mahayana, form is emptiness, emptiness is form. Theravada would not look at it and say, what are they trying to tell me? Huh? Like the boy, 4 + 3 = 7, 5 + 2 = 7, like the impossible one. No? But when you understand, it's actually no different. It's Theravada teaching. Except they bring it up to a higher level of cultivation. They come to realize a lot of things. The importance of vow, aspiration, faith. And they use a lot more other skillful means, like chanting of the Buddha's name, like I described just now, to connect. And they're able to allow you to connect because of their vow, very heavy. And this heavy vow become nature's law. Why? Because of their great parami, their great perfection, cultivation. Yeah? Now you see, now you don't. That's why it's impermanent. When you least expect it, pop, come back. Then you're happy. Pop, gone. You're unhappy. That's how your life and dislike come about. But if you know, nature is like that. I cannot go against nature. I have to accept. Accept means what? Never argue against nature. Never react, never stir. Be at peace. That's how I want somebody to check is because sometimes you cannot be gullible. Hey, brother, they'll say nature, no. Accept lah. Actually, ELCB trip, no. They wait until next morning, still no light. No. See, brother, they'll say accept what? Don't keep bola. Ayo. Sometimes the ELCB trip, and that's why Brother Jia very smart. He checked the ELCB. He said, I checked already. That's why he know. I also want to let you all understand, let's say he really trip. Then I can explain to you, understand? You have to accept what happened, but you must also know, because sometimes when the trip come, it's because it was triggered off by the surge in the system, understand? We are the voltage that is sent to you, can sometimes can fluctuate and surge. Then it trip your ELCB. When it trip your ELCB, means what? Your power for the whole area, knock off. You check in your neighbor also, knock off. But then when the power come back, you don't know, no? Because your ELCB trip. Then you see, hey, how come neighbor got light? Then you go in and check. Oh, ELCB trip already. That's why don't be gullible. Except, the meaning is very deep. Accept means, after that you still check, you still act, understand now. But you don't react, understand now. So that is the meaning. So this is very important. Then like I said, during the sharing, this quote came exactly at the right time. That's why I forward to Miss Lee, asked her to print out. Then we had it for sharing. So this one is meant to be, I tell you, the subsequent sharing is even more amazing. Where I can explain the Jai Krishnamurti quote in very, very clear and simple manner for you to understand how what he say exactly match what the Buddha teach. Okay, may you read on.
What is silent? Can you all understand this daily quote? What is silent? Not just don't talk. Silent here means no chattering, completely no mental chattering. No mental chattering means no thought. That's what awareness is. But sometimes when you are silent, it doesn't mean you are aware because you can be doing a disciplined attention. You silence your mind like no thought, but you have a thought inside there that disciplines you via saying, I must be mindful. Then you are no longer mindful or aware. That is why don't try to be mindful because the trying is by the thought, but instead just maintain silence.
Anasana, this is where they go wrong. No. You think you're silent. I mindfully noting. Who not? The thought not. So this is discipline attention. Means you discipline yourself. But what Krishnamurti means is awareness is the silent and choiceless observation of what is. What is the reality? What is silent? Not don't talk. No. Inside there, chattering, commenting, dialoguing. That's why your mind is not silent. Don't talk is no verbal vibration speech. But your heart, your mind, the mundane mind, think a lot. That's why it's chattering, verbalizing inside there, commenting, judging. That's why he used the next word very good. It's not only silent without all those things, but it's also not making any choice of what is being observed. Understand? Choiceless means what? I don't comment right or wrong. Understand? I don't attach pleasant, unpleasant. Understand? That's why he is very wise. Now you see why he can give you such a quote or not. He never explained like what the Buddha did because he don't have the sasana. He don't have the Dhamma. But he used his own word, a modern word, to try to explain to people. But people cannot understand him. You read this, if I don't explain to you, you ask yourself whether you can understand him or not. You cannot understand him. Okay? Read on me. Thanks.
What is awareness? The moment you are silent, you are already aware. So why do you want to be aware or try to be aware? During one of the recorded Satipatthana Sutta workshop, I heard this funny question that they asked, who is aware? And aware of what? If you inquire this way, then you will get caught because you thought awareness is a knowing. That's why you ask who is aware and aware of what? Very logical, isn't it? But because most people's Sakkaya Ditthi or self-delusion is so strong, so how can they be aware? The thought always wants to be aware while you're verbalizing. That's why it is a focused attention. Focused attention means the thought wants to be aware. The thought is still active behind the awareness. So how can it be aware? Understand or not? The thought is trying to be silent, to be aware of what it wants to be aware. So the moment you want to be aware of that thing, you are no longer aware.
This one you understand. Make sure you don't make this mistake again. The moment you are silent without thought, you already aware. Why you want to try? Who is trying? Your thought behind, active again. That's why you cannot see. You become gullible because you don't understand what sati is. Like a lot of people say, I must do good. Because the Buddha said, avoid all evil, do good. You know what is good to them or not? Good according to them. Then they complain, no, you say, well, Theo, this law of karma, sometimes I got doubt. I said, why? He said, I do good. I tell my children, you must not study this course. You study this course. Good for you. You think good for the children? Because you yourself want him to study that course so that you can be proud as a parent. My son is an engineer. My son is a doctor. If he say he wants to study the funny course, you also don't know what to do. It come out got job. Your priority is what? Come out got job or not. Pay is how. Then I tell people, if my son study this course, nobody understand. Or history. Islamic study. Wow. You Muslim, of course, you're very proud. So a lot of this thing is good according to you. There you say, good for you, boy. You think really good for him. Because of your selfishness. Well, you want him to be dead because it will benefit you in certain way. Then you force them to go and study piano. Hey boy, learn piano, learn organ. Then you tell, yeah, my children sent to that Yamaha. What's music school? Then I send him to ballet. You got send your children or not? I send them to international school. All this is good according to you. But good according to you is based on your delusion, your selfishness. Because you want, because there is benefit to you. But you never feel for your children, no, what they want. Their past is how. Then when the children don't like the cause, what happened? They blame you. They say, you asked me to study one. I don't like this course. How you feel? I spoken this before. Because there was one lady who came for Champaka meditation. I think 50 over years. Almost 60, 50 plus. after the meditation, she approached me, or after I bring out good according to you, he said, Brother Teo, can I offer you a leave to send you home? Then that day, I know this particular, she was new. I knew she got something to ask me. I said, okay, I tell the person who sent me not to wait for me, go, then I allow you to fetch me back. So in the car, you know what she told me? She said, Brother Teo, you are really right. That was what happened to me. I forced my son to study engineering. Then you know what the son did? He was very unhappy. He studied, passed the exam. The moment he passed the exam, he got the slip. He go back in front of the mother, throw that slip at her. This is what you want. Here is the degree. After that, don't interfere in my life. He walked out of the house. The mother cried like anything like that. That's why you have to have sensitivity, feel for them. You cause so much suffering to them, you don't know. Then what is the coming? In future, you have parents that do the same thing to you. Boy, this cause is good for you. Then how? You also cannot be. Understand? So, you have to be careful. That's why Krishnamurti was very wise. You know what he said or not? Don't try to do good. Be mindful, be aware, be heedful. The absence of evil is good. Agree or not? When you are incapable of evil, when you can see the evil root, incapable of allowing the evil root to come in, then you are naturally good. Correct or not? That is not good according to who, no? Absence of evil is definitely good. That's how you cultivate. But he don't have the four right effort, the Dhamma, everything. He just tell you this, the absence of evil is good. He can do it, but he cannot teach you how to do it. Because you don't even have a teaching that say what constitutes evil. But he understand, because he's incapable, but he have the mindfulness to see all this. But he don't have a teaching. That's why he cannot explain to you. Like the five agree of form and maya, he cannot. He just tell you thought. Thought divide. Thought is egoic. All this he know. But he cannot break down to the aggregate and explain to you. That's why you combine the two teaching. Everything show out so beautifully, so perfectly. Okay? I think we stop here. We are 10:30 already. So we are at 5.3.3. Have we covered 3? Not yet, 5.3.2. Okay, afterwards we covered 5.3.2. You can meditate now, Maybe 10:30. 11:30 I come back, okay? Our lunch is 12 o'clock. Okay, good. 11:30 I come back,